Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
Come on, give it up for all campuses today. Come on, somebody make some noise. Happy Father's Day, Weldon, Earth City, Ferguson, Sunset, RPC, online, the whole crew. I'm so proud of our dads because, you know, in today's, you know, world and current culture, men are under attack. And I just think everybody ought to give it up for men that say, we're going to the house of God. We're going to serve God. Come on, make some noise for men in the house. And all the single ladies ought to be saying amen to some real men coming up in the house. And last night it was so much fun. We're going to have a great time today. Last night we did our Saturday. This is my Saturday shirt. If you see people running around with these, they were giving these away last night at RPC and Sunset because we're just starting a summer series every Saturday night where we hang out. Next Saturday night at Sunset, Nicole and I will be there. I'm actually preaching in a 37-foot whale next week. You don't want to miss that. How many of y'all have never seen a 37-foot whale? All right, good. Three or four of you, which is absolutely a God thing that you did it. So we're going to talk about being a man and Father's Day and celebrating. I don't want any dads that got invited today to think this is the day where we attack you. No, this is the day where we celebrate you, where we lift you up, and where we say, you're doing a good job, right?
And it's so cool to see just even here at our West Palm Beach campus and at RPC and all locations today, if you take a look around and just see the men of the house that are serving, knowing that guys got here at the high school this morning at 6 a.m. to show up and not only be leaders in the church, but leaders of their house. Because how many know it starts with the leading in the household. It all follows from there. But what's a wild statistic, and Pastor David and I were talking about this the other day, is if you think about how many households don't have a father. Actually, Google said when we Googled it, 25 million children in America don't have a father in the home.
25 million, that's a lot.
Let that sit for just a second. 25 million children don't have a father in the home. Out of those 25 million, it says 63% of suicides right now are from fatherless homes. 90% of all runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of children with behavioral disorders are from fatherless homes.
Yeah, so God talks a lot about being the father. We know we sang the song today, which I loved it here because Ashton was singing it. She was saying, you're a good, good father. I knew she was talking to me. Come on. I just knew it. But it's very important that the father plays the father figure role in this system. Now, my dad, when he, Austin, was like 7 years old, I got him. In fact, I got a couple pictures I'll show you. This is when I first got Austin. I married Nicole, and Austin was that big. Come on, give it up for Pastor Austin. Is that cute? And then the next picture shows me at my 50th birthday party. If you see all the wrinkles, it's because it was hard raising him, okay? And then the next picture shows the third generation. I'm raising him on a motorcycle. Give it up for Liam, who puked on me this morning. He's like, blah, happy Father's Day. Okay, didn't have time to go get a card, but there's your gift for me. But when I got Austin at 7 years old, first of all, his dad's probably watching today. His dad is a phenomenal human, a great leader. Give it up for Kurt Schuler in Dallas. But, you know, Austin had the benefit of having two dads. One was better looking than the other. I understand that. Why did you assume I'm talking about me, right? But we brought different values to Austin, different ideas. So Austin's just an unbelievable person, for real. I'm not just saying that. He truly is. But one of the things that Austin got to see was my dad, as well as myself, true story. Every day, he would, first of all, have a bowl of cereal, and his Bible was propped up on some fake fruit. Come on, give it up for fake fruit, right? This banana's incredible. Everything's there. And he's just reading his Bible. In fact, I always said I'm going to get a shirt made that says my dad was a cereal killer because he just killed that cereal and he would read the Bible. But my point is that me and Austin would see that. He saw that as a young man. I saw that growing up. And what that did was it gave me a role model. And so dads, just know, whatever you're doing and however you are advertising yourself, if you don't like the way your kids are turning out, perhaps they're turning out like you. So we've got to, that's why I'm so proud of every campus today. You're bringing your kids to church. You're ushering in church. You're serving in church. Because trust me, in the confused culture that we live in today, church, the word of God, is the answer to that.
Yeah, it's so good. And I think one of the cool things and dynamic of Pastor David and I were talking about this is he's like, hey, I want you to share with me this weekend. And as we talked, I mean, as he just said, he is technically my what the world would call my stepdad, but he's a father figure in my life. So maybe today, maybe you're in here like, hey, there's not a father figure in my household. I'm the mom and I am the father figure. You know, last night at RPC, I had a church member come up to me and she said, my husband left me a long time ago. I've been the father figure of our house. So maybe that is you today. And let's talk to this. Let's talk to leaders. How about that? Because men, the Bible says that he is the head of the house, the leader of the house. And there's three things Pastor David and I were talking through. If you're leading something, but especially leading your house, there's three things you have to do in this. If you're note takers, write it down. It's be invested, involved, and inviting. We're going to kind of deep into these and get scripture with all of them. Invested, involved, inviting. So invested, the good, the bad, the ugly. How many of you, your family and your life has been ultimately perfect in every way? Raise your hand. Come on, all campuses, online, put it in the chat. I'm waiting. I know there's going to be one person on Facebook that's like, yeah, my life is perfect. No, it's not. We all have those things that happen, and then involved in every season. We can't just be there. You know, Pastor David was like talking to me how some, you know, dads he's seen are like, hey, once they're old enough to play T-ball, then I'm coming into the life. But until then, hey, honey, you got her, him or her all the way up until that season. No, I'm talking about in every season. I'm talking every poopy diaper change. I'm talking every spit up, which we had this morning.
Two women are like, that's right, preach that. He ain't never helped me change no diaper.
And then the third is just inviting, and that's inviting into every conversation. And we'll talk about it a little bit more, but that's one of the things that I value so much from Pastor David and Pastor Nicole, because they invite us into not only the good, but the hard and the bad. Because it's so tough as a young parent, not only as a young parent, just a young person, I don't want to go through life and think I failed. Like, look what they did. They never had any hard times. No, can I tell you, they have, but they overcame it. Come on, Jesus said in scripture there would be a storm, but you're going to go through the storm. But we got to actually receive it and walk through it. But parents, we have to let our children know. Like, one of the things we will tell our son, guaranteed, is, hey, this is a tough decision, but we want you to be involved in it. We're not going to hide you from it. We want you to learn from it. And one of the things Pastor David and Pastor Nicole talk about is leaving a legacy. So how many of y'all want to dive in today of what I just kind of wrote down? I don't really know what to call it, but just Pastor David's playbook. Anybody want to know what his fathering playbook looks like? Six of you. Okay, anyways. If you're taking notes, write this down. The first thing is a praying father. You know, something I've learned is we can't just pray for, we have to pray with. You know, I was reading a book recently with Pastor Morgan, and we talked about, it's Praying Circles with Your Children by Mark Batterson. And he said the best legacy that you can leave, come on, Earth City, Ferguson, if you're online, Weldon Spring, the best legacy, listen to me, the best legacy you can leave is not praying for your children, it's praying with them. It's teaching them in every season that God hears their prayers and he will answer them. It says, whatever you ask in the name of the Father, that it will be yours. One of the only reasons I really know that scripture is because someone put a legacy of prayer in my life to let, hey, Austin, I know you're believing, I know you're thinking about it. You're wishing, careful, there's a difference between a wish and having faith and actually putting it into existence. Faith pulls the thing from the unseen into the seen. But if we don't take them along the journey, we wonder why kids are falling away. You got a participation trophy, you just showed. No. You have to do the work. The Bible says that, come on, give it up. The Bible says that faith without works is, come on, say it with me. Faith without works is, we got to be putting in the work.
I think Austin's killing it today, wouldn't you say? Come on. And that, I'm so proud of him, because all that's happening right now is a life of his mom and me and his dad and everybody just speaking into it. This is how it turns out. If you leave it to the school system to teach your kids, you're screwed. I said it. If you leave it to television, my dad would watch television. My dad was this type of dude. And I'm going to ask you a question on all campuses. How many of y'all, you got in trouble for stuff you didn't do? Like your mom or dad was watching TV and a kid would smart back. And my dad would be like, let me just tell you what would happen to you if you ever did that. Come on, raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, I know you're jacked up. Come on, try it, right? My dad would be like, let me tell you here's the deal. I would knock you so far into the other room, because I was asked, guy one time, I said, how far has kingdom come and how long does it take for me to get back from there, right? I'll slap you into kingdom come, right? My dad would say, I'll kill you, tell God you died, and make another one just like you. I like that part, okay?
So my dad wasn't perfect, but he did. He invited me in the conversation. He involved me in the conversation. And then he raised me in the house. And here's the thing that that my dad did that I love so much. It was this, if you remember the story of the prodigal son, when the kid goes away, he spends all that he has on, it says, if you read the message, it's fun. It's like he spent all his money on hookers. Come on, somebody ought to say amen in here. He spent all his money on riotous living. And then it said he came to himself. In other words, his card was out, the money was out, and now it's just himself. But because there was a culture of acceptance and love in the house, not that you're enabling the behavior, but you're saying, when you come to yourself, know that me and mom, we go to church. And when you decide to come back to church, you'll know where we are. We're at 3590 Ryder Trail at Earth City. We're at 13001 Gravois Road in Sunset Hills. Whatever the address is, you're saying, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. But my dad never pointed the finger this way. He would talk to me and say, hey, I'm going to not condemn you on this, but I'm going to convict you on this. We shouldn't act that way. We don't do things that way. And then I coined the phrase myself, raising him, was we do what's right because it's right and we do it right. Let's all shout that together.
Right, and do it right.
All right, so in other words, the shortest Boys to Men, I think, did it best when they said, this is how we do it, okay? So this is what we do. Not that we're perfect, but we have a compassionate heart. So as a dad, I saw that model. When I did the dumbest thing I'd ever done in the history of my life, I mean, I'm now a man, and I do the dumbest thing I've ever done. My dad gives me a plaque. First of all, he went to Cracker Barrel because that's where God speaks. And while you're waiting at Cracker Barrel, he saw a plaque, right? He sees a plaque, and it says something to the effect of, you're the son I've always wanted, and I'm so proud of you.
Wow.
And then he writes on the back. When he hands me this, like 2 days after I do this stupid action, I just melt and start crying. Because my dad was basically showing me what the Father says about me, which I'm forgiven, I'm loved, I'm blessed, I might be convicted, but I'm not condemned. Does that make sense? And so that story in Luke 15, if you want to write it down and read it later, it's just a picture of what fathers should look like. Now raising, I'm going to let him get back to the points in a second, but raising girls versus raising guys. Number one, girls are so much fun because the dresses, come on somebody, it's just unbelievable how cute these dresses are. In fact, Liam too, I just found out that there's a lot of cool garb for guys, right? I'm like, look at this dude. Now he's got little motorcycles. He's fun, but it's different. I don't know. Is he back there? Because you're kind of looking. Bring him out if he's here. Run him out if he is here. Give it up for the Reverend Bishop, the holy man of God, the one who threw up on me this morning. This is it. This is what a man looks like right here. Come on, somebody. You got something to say? I got the best grandpa in the world. Come on, somebody. I'm interpreting for him right now. Okay, take him away. He steals the show every time. Bye, Reverend. Give it up for the bishop one more time. So my point is learning the behavior of your kids. Not the behavior, the personality. So Austin is quality time. When raising him, Nicole would be like, I went down to talk to Austin, and he's not talking yet. Like, go back down, basically. She knew, I've got to go talk to him for about 20 minutes. And then all of a sudden, it opened up. And then she's down there for an hour and a half. Because we found out what he needed. So that's my suggestion to fathers today, is to find out the personality type of your daughter. Find out Ashton is quality time, and she speaks gifts. In other words, and physical touch. So that means I got to take her to the mall, hold her hand, and listen to her. Can I get an amen? So learning that, and that again happens through growth track at church. If you go through growth track, you're going to find out your personality, and you can find out your kid's personality, and that helps you invite them into the conversations.
Yeah, so really the second point for the whole playbook would be love your children in every season and have grace. I think for all of us, Pastor David just said, you can't control someone else's action, but we can control our reaction. I mean, how many of you can control that in life? You can control that in family. You can control that in friendships. You can control that when your boss does something crazy at work. Come on, everybody said amen on that one. Like, you're like, I'm going to take my jaw drop and make it a smile. But it's so great because every day attitude's a decision. So things are going to come at us, but how are we going to react? Can I tell you this? As Christians, people are watching how we react to situations. They don't want to just hear what we have to say. They want to see how we actually live it out. So I want to encourage everybody, what's your reaction to the action? Also, parents, man, I'm talking to a lot of different parents. Maybe you're at Earth City or Ferguson Florissant. Maybe you're at Walden Spring. Actually, right now, it's wild. Many of you are joining us from Canada online, and you're probably trying to figure out, like, hey, there's pastors being arrested. I'm just trying to figure out how to continue to walk in my Christian way, be able to go to church. But I also want to know, how do I keep doing life with my family? And we have to just remember, don't focus on the action, focus on your reaction. Continue to choose love. Don't speak that hate over that situation. Speak what you want to see. Pastor David actually used to say this thing where it's like, what after everything you say, finish it with, and that's the way I want it. So maybe your biggest takeaway, dad or leader of the house today, is when you leave here today, make sure to start training yourself. What am I saying? How am I saying it? And when you end your sentence, make sure to say, and that's the way I want it. Immediately you'll go, wait a minute, that's not the way I want it. I'm going to change the way I'm starting to see things. There was a study recently I was listening. Anybody listen to podcasts or any audios? Okay. So all campuses, you probably, there's some of you that listen to podcasts. I was listening to one the other day, and a gentleman said that with children, 3 and under, catch this, when they cry and have these, have you ever seen a little kid like have a mental breakdown and you're like, whoa, they're crying like crazy, having one of their episodes, just let them do their thing. They said actually in that moment, depending on how we as parents or father figures or mother figures in their life, how we react to it actually builds a, call it a neurological pathway that will actually set them up for the years to come. What's wild is as I listened to this guy talk, he said one of the best things that you can do, they found in study, is when that happens, the child's brain actually shuts down. They don't know exactly what they're doing, but it says that an embrace by the parent, an embrace, catch this, an embrace by the father, love, I'm talking about reaction, not just the action, the reaction to their action actually causes that neurological to kind of actually start to simmer down. And then it actually builds a pathway that when that happens, they know, I need to run to my parents. I need to run to my father. Maybe that's where we are in life right now. Forget parenting for a second. Maybe something happened to you and you're like, what do I do? My reactions are all over the place. Can I tell you, your reaction needs to be to get in God's house. Get in here. It says that when I'm in my father's house, that's where the blessing is. That's where the favor is. That's where the grace is. I mean, my gosh, we can't just put it on a wall and say we want 5 years of grace and favor. We got to believe it. How many of y'all believe for that grace and favor of the next 5 years? Come on, let's just give it up for God right now, believing and receiving all that he has for us. Which leads me to the next part of the playbook. We got to raise our kids in church. Pastor David always says, my kids had a drug problem. I got drugged to church and drug home, drugged to church and drug home. Do our kids have that kind of problem? It needs to. What's the other saying you say? If you don't bring them, I don't know what it is.
You don't raise them, if you don't, raise them, what am I saying? State pen, playpen. You threw me on that. So if you don't bring them to church when they're in the playpen, you will visit them in the state pen. There you go.
Because it's called legacy. Consistency is the key to breakthrough. So what are we consistent in? Are we consistently telling them we don't have to go to church? Or are we consistently saying, no, we need to be in church. We need to grow in church. We need to serve in church. We need to give in church. Because that will be a legacy, mom and dad, that will go beyond us, grandma and grandpa. That would be a legacy that last in a foundation of faith. So that third thing is raise our children in God's house. In Psalms 112, it says, blessed are those who fear the Lord. But another version says, blessed are those who honor God's house. Raise your hand at all campuses if you want to be blessed. Raise your hand if you want a blessing. Raise your hand if you want your generations, your children, your children's children to be blessed. If our hand is raised to want to receive blessing, it's a step process that God gives us, but it first comes from what? Being in his
house.
Ooh, say it one more time. Being in his
house.
So you're telling me being in the house brings blessing? Some people will say, no. That's what the scripture says. And later on in verse 3, it says, wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. How long?
Forever.
How long?
Forever.
Come on, our city, how long? Come on, online, put it in the chat. How long?
Forever.
There's a lot of times that people have money. I said this last night. I think some of the most blessed people at our church are the poorest people.
Yeah.
By that I mean they have no money to go anywhere else. So they're like, oh, we're having Saturday night church, and they're giving away hot dogs, and the kids are going to go to the bounce houses. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And they're there, and their kids are there, and they're serving, and their kids want to be in Rev. Their kids are all about the church. And then as they grow up, next thing you know, man, these kids are serving God. They meet their wife in the church. You got to remember, I've been doing this my whole life. See, I'm 51 years old now. So I've watched people that do it this way, and then I've watched them do it this way. The worst thing you can do is have money. I just promise you it is. I'm not against people having money, but it'll jack your kids up in a minute because it's like, oh, my kid's going to be on the travel team. My kid, you know what? They're so good on the barrel races, I'm going to buy them a $100,000 horse. Now, since we got a $100,000 horse, we can't go to church on the weekends. Since my kid's so good and he has a batting average of blah, 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 I actually hired, you know, Jim Edmonds, and he goes to our church, by the way, St. Louis Cardinals legend, and he's going to be their coach, okay? So now you got all these people coaching these kids to go be like the world, act like the world, and guess what? They turn out just like the world. And the worst thing you can do is I watch the fathers like, hey, man, my son, basically, you know, all the girls love him. He's a 15-year-old player, basically. That away, boy. Don't brag on that. My dad taught me, guess what? Being a man means you love one woman. Being a man means you love one guy. Being a man means you go to church. Come on, somebody ought to say, man, that's what a man is. You can be a pimp or a preacher. What do you want to be? So I'm saying that money would be great if you got good sense. Money sucks if you're stupid. It's the worst thing that can happen to you. And then people without money, I saw a girl yesterday, a lady, she was probably about my age, she's driving down the road, and it was one of those situations where she wasn't going to go at the red light, you know, so I woke her up behind her, she's on Facebook or something, you know, so she moves, and I pull her around the side, she's got a cigarette hanging out of her mouth. A minivan that looks like it had three tours of Vietnam. And then what she was doing is she was scratching off a scratch off while she had to think. And I looked at her and thought, oh my gosh, that's somebody's mom. And her hope is built on the wrong thing. You know, you want your mom coming home with a cigarette hanging out with a scratch off. No, you want your mom that's like, I went to I Am Women's Conference and I know I've been through some struggle and I've been through some pain, but God's about, come on somebody, help me right now. God's about to do something in my life. I'm expecting 5 years of grace and favor. And Chucky, you're going with me right now. Little Chucky ends up being an usher. Chucky ends up meeting a door greeter and they end up going to heaven and living in heaven on earth versus the other joker that's been married 5 times. Is this working right now? I said, you learn these things by going to church. And I love what Austin's saying when it says wealth and riches and enduring. So you win the scratch off. If you don't know what to do with the money, then the money will ruin you. And so last thing I'll say, and I'll let him go on this rant. Proverbs. If dads, if you don't know what to do, read Proverbs every day. Because people tell me, they go, I started reading the Bible, I got lost, I don't know where to start. Just Proverbs. There's a book in the Bible called Proverbs. There's 31 of these bad boys. And when you read them every day, you'll know the answer. Because the answer is in the book. And when you read, like, it's like, hey, will you finance, will you co-sign for me? In Proverbs, it says, do not co-sign for somebody or they will come take your bed. So you go, heck no, you ain't taking my bed, right? Somebody comes up and says, you know, the whorish woman will bring you down and take advantage of you. And some girl's like, hey, what's up? And you're like, whore alert. Come on, I know it's Sunday and Joel wouldn't say this, but you didn't go to Joel's church. You came to my church. So Proverbs, clean that up.
Beloved, I wish above all things. No, it's like, what do you do from that, you know? But I agree with Pastor David in terms of Proverbs. So if you would, write the scripture down. Proverbs 22:6.
He said in terms of Proverbs. Yes. He doesn't agree with everything else I said. See what I'm saying? I was like, no, I'm kidding.
I believe it all. It's all great. Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he or she should go. And when he or she is old, he or she will not depart from it. Can I tell you, actions are louder than words. Kids can see us go to church, but if we don't implement it when we on the drive home, when we get home, when it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, this is not a condemning statement. This is an encouraging statement to say we need to be held accountable as parents to say, I can't tell my kid one thing and show him something different. So the fourth point is teach and train. I know Pastor David, when he was a young boy, many of you can actually probably finish this statement, but he was sick and his dad was traveling around ministering, especially if you're at the Sunset Hills or Earth City campus, you'll know this. And he said, Dad, I'm sick. He said, Baby Dave, get over here. You're going to believe and you're going to jump 3 times. And he said, jump, Baby Dave. Jump. Oh, come on, all campuses, jump, baby Dave.
Jump.
Why do you know that? Because he was teach and trained, and then he teach and trained us. That's a legacy of understanding all the way back to the beginning of a praying father, a praying leader, because his dad left a legacy of understanding, son, I'm going to teach and train you so when I'm not here, which he's not, he can stand on that foundation and still have a strong, prosperous life. That's what the scripture is telling us. We cannot just do this thing. We have to leave a thing called a legacy, a prayer legacy. Well, legacy, I got plenty of money in the bank. Pastor David just said if we have the wrong relationship with money, if we don't know that money can help other nations, that money can help feed the poor, that it can help set girls free from sex trafficking. It's funny how I see people go, I can't believe they would be blessed. Well, who else is going to go do the work of the ministry? And when I look around all campuses, if you believe, you said at the second point that in the house, if you would find yourself here, the God said he would bring blessing into your house. You all raised your hand and said, I want to be blessed. But we have to remember, teach and train. When the blessing comes, because I see a lot of people in all of our campuses today, what do we do when the blessing comes? What are we training our kids? Hey, when the blessing comes, Pastor David told me from a long time ago, hey, I want you to take the trash out. I'm going to give you $5, but we're going to make sure you tithe off that $5. What? He said, do you want none of it or do you want some of it? I'm talking about teaching and training. He didn't have to pay me. It wasn't about paying me to take out the trash. It was teaching me something that would lay a foundation to leave a legacy. Now, with our son, we started very young because Morgan and I are like, hey, when we do something, we want it all to go back to a understanding and foundation. So we actually have, we don't really call it core value, but we have family core values in a sense on his wall, in his room. And number one is we put God first. Why? Because if we're in his house, there will be blessing. And then there's parts that go down and down and down. But what are the things that we're training our kids? If we don't have a list, let's make one. Because what you value, you'll carry. If you don't know what you're carrying, what are your kids carrying then? Because if we don't make it clear, our kids won't be able to carry on that legacy that we have.
It's completely good. Come on, give it up for Austin one more time. It's incredible. So proud of you. So, again, back to the house. My dad would teach me while we were watching television. He'd be like, look, watching this, and he loved Cowboys. My gosh, I had to sit through Lonesome Dove, which is, by the way, is 27 hours. Or, you know. But he would be like, watch them make the preacher out to be like an idiot. Watch them make the Christians look like morons. And the way back when, if you think about it, back in the day, anybody old enough to at least on Nick at Night or something see I Love Lucy or something like that, right? Remember when Ricky and Lucy slept in different beds? Remember when it was Ricky and Lucy, right? Right? So now everybody's confused because Hollywood, this, I'm not here to preach against things. I'm just here to tell you that you all been people that are in the world that are not trained. That's why people are so confused. They're suicidal, they're miserable, they need opioids and drugs. Why? Because mom and dad didn't teach them, hey, we're watching this show, but let me teach you what they are teaching you. So now it's so bad. Number one, there aren't three channels on anymore. There's 97 million channels. Come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about? And there's programs that you can watch that will change your belief system about God, about the God who created you. And now people are confused. And what we have is people even, I feel it when I'm preaching, current culture is shoving down the Bible. Why? Because the devil is real. He came to steal, kill, and to destroy. But when you bring your kids in church and you go, you have all these hours, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and you're listening to this and you're seeing this, the kids don't have a chance in purgatory of having a good mind because we're not putting the word in their heart. So here's what I say to people. You're going to go through as the parent times when you don't want to go to church. In fact, I didn't wake up today and go, hallelujah, I want to go to church today. I woke up and thought, what day is it, right? But then I went to church. I did what's right because it's right when I didn't feel like doing what was right. And then 30 years later, what turns out is my legacy sitting here on the stage today who can regurgitate the word of God that was hid in his heart that is going down into my children. And people say, you know, man, a favor be upon you to 1,000 generation and your children and your children. And I don't go to church. I don't go to church. I do what I want. I go to the lake. I do. No, no, no. It's not the way it works. You have to invest. You have to invite. And then you have to involve those kids in every step of the way. So that's why I'm so proud today when I look out over our campuses and I think about, you know, the pastors that are there. In fact, at Ferguson Florissant today, one of our campus pastors there that you haven't even met, Pastor Rob, he raised his kids. He's a pastor in Chicago. He works for us now. And he raised his kids in church, and now all of his kids are pastors somewhere in America. So when I was interviewing Rob, all I didn't have to interview him. I needed to interview his kids. I can tell who you are when I look at who your kids are. And you're like, oh, God, I'm screwed. But when you raise them in the house of God, their life turns out right. Come on, give God praise today.
So good. And I'll say this as we kind of wrap up today, and you know, at all locations and online, and maybe you're watching this and you're joining us on a replay on a Wednesday or Thursday. If you didn't know this, we actually have church online and you can actually go back and be a part of this all week long, or maybe you're joining us on YouTube or one of our different platforms today. I want you to know this, one thing that we always talk about and we even share from the stage, and there's not many churches that do this, is we tell you we don't have it all figured out. Can I just say that for a second? You guys okay with that? Like a little honesty of we don't, like sometimes they're what we don't call them fights, we call them intense times of fellowship. So if you're a part of this today and you're like, man, there's just, we wish our family could be like that. Y'all, we jacked up. But we're working on it. And I think that's the key piece, again, of inviting our kids along. But the last thing we would want today is for you to sign off of online or get off of Facebook or leave your campus today and wonder, man, I'll never be like that. You're probably already doing better than we are. We're just pairing it with Scripture. So I want to encourage you today. You're doing better than you think you are. Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, come on, Auntie. Come on, let's give it up for the father figures, the leaders in the house. But I also want to encourage young fathers. Like, I got a 6.5-month-old. And take what you're hearing today and don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. Like, actually go write this down. Have you ever went and you're like, man, I didn't have a dad to tell me how to raise my kids. Take this fatherly teaching today. Again, it's not coming from me. It's coming from literally, I'm just regurgitating what he has taught me and giving you his playbook. Anybody ever watch sports? Raise your hand on all campuses if you ever watched any sport. If you watched a team sport, they operate by a playbook. How are we going to do it? What are we going to do if something happens? What are we going to change it up? If we lose, we got to go back and we got to watch tape so we can win the next time. Maybe this is your game tape where you got to look over it and go, man, that's the thing I did. I was doing X, Y, but I wasn't doing Z. And the last piece would be that inviting piece. I want to encourage everybody. This is one of the biggest things. I said it at the beginning, and I think it's the best thing to end with, is Pastor David has done the best job. Pastor Nicole has done the best job. My dad has done the best job at saying, hey, I don't know how to make this decision, but I want you to be involved in it. So when you have to make a similar decision, you know, oh man, he didn't know what to do either. She didn't know what to do either. So I want to encourage everybody. Let's make sure we're inviting our kids. We're inviting our children's children into situations, being honest with them in every season. So again, that it leaves that legacy that they can build on.
You know, my dad, as we wrap this up, I'm going to play a little video in a second. And, the video is basically me and my dad, and somebody sent it to me. I didn't even plan on playing it. They did it for my birthday. And then I said, you know what, I'm going to play it Father's Day because I want to honor, of course, my dad, who I'm standing on his shoulders today, and Austin standing on his shoulders as well. It just keeps going up, and Liam. And one of the things my dad told me is when he had me, first of all, you know, he was a partier. He was like, just come home drunk and shoot the pictures off the wall. This is the kind of dad I had. But one night he came in and he had bust the windows out of, just went for fun and busted windows out of cars. And so he's bleeding to death, basically, just drunk out of his mind. And went into the military and tried to straighten his life out, became a cop, tried to straighten his life out. But he said that the defining moment that changed his life is when my mom told him, I'm pregnant. Then he realized, man, I've got to get my life together. Because he said, I've heard him say it a million times preaching. He said, if I am a drunken whore, he will be a drunken whore. If I'm going to shoot all the pictures off the wall, I know that's hard for you to believe. Like, man, is that really happens? It really happens. My dad was that guy. And so, but my dad said, I'm going to change my life. And he changed his life. And he said, if I would become a preacher, I bet money he would become a preacher. And guess what? He's in heaven today, and I'm a preacher, and he's a preacher. And Liam was grabbing that mic. I'm just saying. So I just want us for a minute to look at this legacy. Check this out.
by visit their grandpa, and it's plain to see they're truly part of him. And while we were there, their grandma took out some old photographs. Man, he sure looked a lot like me back then. I'm seeing my father in me. I guess that's how it's meant to be. And I find more and more like him each day. I notice I walk the way he walks. I notice I talk the way he talks. I'm starting to see my father in me. I'm seeing my father in me. Yes, that's how it's meant to be. And I find more and more like him each day. And I'm happy to see my father in me.
Come on. You know what I love is that's the epitome of legacy. The playbook we shared started then. It doesn't end now, but it's up to us to carry this playbook on. Because when I see photos and I see pictures, and could you see how they literally look like each other in some of their motions? And that's when I knew his dad may have not done everything right, but half the battle is just showing up. We heard earlier, 25 million kids don't have a father in the home. So dads, don't beat yourself up. Just stay consistent. Stay strong. You got this. So one more time, come on. Can we give it up for the dads? Can we give it for the fathers? And I know you're thankful just like I am for a legacy, because we get to stand on that foundation to continue to reach people, to continue to go beyond where we're at right now. And in a minute, we're going to hear a story of life change that we get to build as a church. What's our mission statement? People connect, families grow, and? Come on, all campuses, online, RPC. People connect, families grow, and? You're building a legacy, Faith Church. On the shoulders of Pastor David's dad, to Pastor David, and beyond. And so I just want to pray for all dads today. I want to pray for all men in our church. I want to pray for all leaders, household leaders. Maybe again, if you're a mom, grandma, aunt, whoever you are today, we want to pray for you. We want to pray strength for you in this season. So Father, right now at all campuses, God, I pray for each and every person under the sound of our voice, whether watching this back on YouTube, podcast, whatever it is, God, that your word would not go void. So God, right now I ask you to speak to each and every one of us, God. I speak healing over every single broken heart that maybe didn't have a father figure, but today was the day that it mended back together, that says, you know what? I may have not had a father, but I can choose to be a father, that I can be the best dad or father figure that I've ever been. God, I can be the father figure I wanted to have in my life, but it starts with my heavenly Father. What does he say about me? And I'll start speaking that over myself and then over my legacy. God, I just speak over our church right now. I thank you that men are rising up like never before. It's amazing to see the statistic that Father's Day is one of the least attended services and weekends in the church today. God, we say at Faith Church, we're going to start turning that around in Jesus' name. That the men are coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Young, old, wise, unwise, God, so that we can come. And you said that you would use the foolish things to confound the wise. So no matter how wise or foolish, God, you're bringing us in. And God, I just thank you today that I get the opportunity to stand on this stage, to sit on this stage on a legacy of my grandfather. He built it from nothing to where we are today, but I know, God, that this isn't where you have for us. There's more to come, that the best is yet to come. Come on, if we believe that, Faith Church, come on. If we love legacy today, can we give our God our best praise in Jesus' name?
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword, It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.